Doing well, buddy. How you
great.
Doing?
Yeah, not too shabby. Down here, still in the city. You guys are still out where you're at. I know.
The city, the big Harrisburg city.
Yeah, I know, right? Killing it, Midtown.
Yeah.
Yeah, big old Harrisburg. Woo. Downtown.
Hey, man, Anvil, we got one traffic light.
That's as many as all of Perry County.
That's true.
And four DUI stops.
Welcome to episode 9 of the Operation Shutdown. What's a Fedge?
All right. Welcome back to the Operation Shutdown. This is episode 9. Today, I'm joined by friend of the show, Ed Gruhl. Say hello, Ed.
Hello, everybody. I apologize for last week. Had some technical difficulties, but I'm glad to be back this week. And Fedge, I'm sorry to drag into this twice.
Yeah, we were supposed to record this last week, but we got pushed back. Luckily for us, our special guest this week, Fedge Herb, was kind enough to come back on the show. We tried again. We're recording today, Thursday, October 12th, or is it the 13th? It doesn't matter.
13th. One of those two.
12th.
There you go. And for those of you who don't know, let me give a quick intro for Fedge. The people that do know him, he needs no introduction. His claim to fame, though, is he writes a fantastic blog, and it really just started writing on it again. As far as I could tell, The Poor Travelers, put a link to it in the show notes. And beyond that, he also has been in a bunch of different bands. The most impressive, which I've seen right now, is the Solar Federation, a Rush tribute band. That takes some real balls, as far as I can tell, to do a Rush tribute band. Rush fans are very particular. That's a good, good band. You got to be good to play their music. He currently works for Trogues Independent Brewing. You can follow Jeff on Twitter. We'll give a link to the show notes there. And his last blog post for those listeners in Central Pennsylvania really was great. It was a fantastic rundown of all the really hot beers right now around Central PA. I don't know how he gets to all these breweries with having these bands, having a full-time job, but man, you were bouncing around the place. It was great. It was a great post. So with
two words on that.
Yeah.
No children.
No children. That's right. That helps.
Two more words. Amen.
Yeah. I'm the only one here with kids.
Oh, right on.
So, real quick, the way we start every show, what are you drinking? Ed, let's throw that to you. What do you got?
All right. Since in honor of Fedge being here, I am drinking a Wild Elf that I was allowed to drink out of my own fridge, apparently. Love the Mad Elf notes with the, oh God, I just love the sour bits of this. It's really good. I'm almost starting to wish this was the Mad Elf in a lot of ways. Very cool. And glad I brought this out today.
Awesome. Awesome. Glad you were able to get some.
Yeah.
We have an inside partner there. Tierney's brother works at the brewery. So
of course. Yeah. Yeah.
That's a phenomenal beer. That's a really great beer. It's 6 years in the making. All those various barrels that they had aged and blended together. Really, really a neat, unique experience.
Yeah, they're really, really taking their time with the barrel aged stuff and getting it right. Doing a lot of blending, a lot of testing. It's been a really cool process to kind of see from the inside.
It's really neat to see, because I think early on the Trogener brothers, they weren't actually keen on that type of stuff, and now they're more open to, hey, we can do some of this long term barrel age stuff, and I think it's really neat.
Yeah, I think we've gotten a lot of people at the brewery who've kind of opened their eyes to some new things. Tim Mayhew in particular, who was our lead cellarman for the longest time, now he's kind of like the brewing manager, I think, is the title they created for him. But he kind of oversees all of that stuff from the scratch beer development and also the barrel aging program. He's really into sours, really into all kinds of unusual blending and Belgian style beers. And he's really kind of helped bring that to the forefront. Now we're really starting to expand our Splinter series, which is great. I had the pleasure of having some of the original Splinter beers that we did back in the day through the Harrisburg Brewery when we were over there, which was before I worked there. I've only been with Trogues for about 4 years. But, you know, they dabbled in it a little bit, and the results were even really good back then, but they were kind of like few and far between. So I'm really glad to see that we're expanding that series and gotten the new fooders in there and everything. And the Splinter Cellar is ridiculous. It's like the hot spot in the brewery now. It's like I'm jealous. You know, we just got new offices back in April, and they're like a far cry from the conditions we used to work in. Not that the conditions were, you know, like prison camp conditions, yeah, sure. But I mean, it's sure. It's like night and day, you know. We used to have like the stained carpet in there and just like the dark hallway going down, and now it's just like this big open area. It's like we're working at Google, you know. It's pretty sweet. But the Splinter Cellar is banging, man. I'm sure you guys have been over there and have seen it.
I have. Yeah, it's extremely nice. I couldn't believe it. I was there late on the whole thing, and when I first saw it, it was probably about, I'd say, 4 weeks ago, and I was taken aback. I was like, oh my gosh, this is really amazing. Then you go upstairs, they have the art. Really cool. And I like that they're going back to like the small brewery type of roots with that room, although it's not small, yeah. But they still haven't forgotten where they've come from, and I think that's one of the things that you're trying to do there, and I think it's neat.
Sure. And yeah, the whole art gallery thing, I don't want to necessarily take credit for it, but back when I was the only marketing person there at Trogues, pretty much, I had come up with an idea for the Art of Trogues contest about 3 years ago to do like an art exhibit. And I wanted to line the self-guided tour path with all of the entries for the year and kind of have like an actual exhibit. So I'd like to think, or at least tell myself, that maybe that was the impetus for the gallery.
Hey, if you want to say you take credit, we're going to believe you no matter what. So you're good.
I'll give you credit, full credit.
Right on.
So that turns us to you, Fej. What are you drinking?
So I, like I said earlier before we started recording, didn't want to seem obvious and be drinking a Trogues beer. As much of it as I have in the house, certainly. I was just going through my inventory downstairs, and I think I have like my last three pay cases. But I am drinking one of my favorite local breweries tonight. I'm drinking a pounder can of Murrin River by Pizza Boy Brewing Company, a place that also my wife is gainfully employed. She works there one night a week. She used to work there two nights a week. She's gone back to the days of the old shop.
Yeah.
I was kind of like the guy who found that place among my beer friends and kind of corralled everybody there when they first opened, before they were even brewing their own beer.
Yeah.
Al is definitely one of the more interesting characters in the yeah. Central PA brewing scene. He's a great,
unique
generous
guy.
No doubt, yeah. Very, very generous, very open-minded. Well, very... What's the word I'm thinking of? He speaks his mind.
yeah, he does.
Yeah, not afraid to. But Al's great, and I've been a fan of Terry Hawbaker since back when he was a Bullfrog. Always been a big fan of Bullfrog. It was probably the place where I had the first IPA I've ever had there, Edgar IPA, and he was brewing there back at the time. Yep.
Oh, okay.
Herbie used to play there, one of my bands, back in the day, and it was right when I was starting to get into craft beer. And when we played up there, you know, you get free beer. So I'm like, oh, this India Pale Ale, I guess I'll try one of those. And I was like, holy shit, this beer is freaking amazing. So that was actually my first PA brew pub that I like fell in love with. And then shortly thereafter, I found Seelan's Grove and that
right on the way home.
Exactly. Yeah. Man, that place. Not to jump off topic.
No, but let's hold that. We're gonna come back to Seelan's Grove because both you guys really love that place, and the beer that Fez you really love from there, I do as well. I'm sure Ed does. We'll come back to that. the Murren River is a great selection, a great beer. Was available in six packs. I'm sure we'll see it in cans, in pounders again too. Maybe not six packs, but definitely four packs. We'll see that one again soon in cans. That's a great
beer. I see it on Instagram every once in a while, so we know it'll be back.
Yeah, it'll be back. All right,
no doubt.
Tonight I am drinking.
What are you drinking, Billy?
I'm drinking a pounder from the Trillium 4-point Pale Ale.
I was gonna say that. Nice. That looks like a Trillium can.
Yeah. I was able to get.
I didn't know this was a whale party. I'd have brought something better.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I was supposed to drink this last week. I had to sit on it for another week. I was dying to crack it open. A friend of mine was up at in Boston. He picked up a couple of 4-packs for me. We split them up. I got two of each beer. This pale ale is really well embodies this New England pale ale style. It's nice and creamy looking. It's got a fantastic aroma. It's very that crushable kind of style that they talk about.
Can you please not say crushable? Please,
I like it. I know people get upset with that. I don't know. Ugh. It works for me. It's nice and fruity, citrusy. And I had the Indian Pale Ale. The name is one of their street series. The name kind of escapes me right now. But this
Congress Street?
No, is the other one.
No.
Start with an M. McKellar Street, something like that.
Yeah. I can't think of it.
Yeah.
That sounds like a lawsuit waiting to happen. McKellar Street. But.
Yeah, right?
Yeah. It was that one was very nice, but this pale ale is just so nice, very easy drinking. Really love it.
Cool.
I'll be going up to Boston on our annual. It'll be our ninth annual, I think, Drinksgiving trip.
Oh, Jesus!
Nice.
So we do a Thanksgiving trip every year. Basically, it was born out of hatred of my sister-in-law or my stepsister as a sister-in-law, my brother's wife. She's expletive deleted. so we decided, what a good time to go on a beer trip so we don't have to go home and visit her for Thanksgiving. So that's how that started. And we're going up and visiting some friends who live in Boston, and then we're going to go up to Portland and Portsmouth on the way back. So it's going to be kind of like a super long weekend, and Trillium is definitely on the list. We're going to stop there and get some stuff. Although that is one brewery that my wife and I don't seem to see eye to eye on. She's not a big fan of their hop profiles.
Really?
And I kind of dig their stuff. They seem to have a lot of the cat boxy style IPAs that are you know pretty unusual. But I kind of dig them.
The cat pee flavor. Yeah.
The cat pee. Yeah.
I don't mind that at all. I like it.
No. I'm into cheesing.
Yeah.
T and I run into the same thing where she's like, this tastes like cat pee. And I go, yeah, it's awesome. No, she's like, no, and I'm like, no, this is awesome. It's so good.
As offensive as cat piss is, when I smell it on my porch in the morning, I like want to, you know, punch babies. But when I drink it, it's a different story. You know,
I'm gonna make a fruit beer called Punch Babies. That's exactly
Punch Babies. I like that. Kind of like the Hawaiian punch
fruit punch.
Guy.
Yeah,
indeed.
They call him Punchy.
Yeah,
yeah.
I like that. All right, let's change gears a little bit here. One of the reasons why I was really looking forward to getting you on, Fej, was you had just made a unbelievable, because you just mentioned that you had a you're planning your beer Thanksgiving trip, but you just made a big trip, right? You're out in Oregon and you did 8 days, is that correct? And how many breweries did you hit up out there?
I believe the grand total was 50 unique breweries. Although we did hit 54 technically, because we went back to four places twice.
How do you do that? What kind of planning is involved in that? And did you hit the whole state? Is there anyone you missed?
there were plenty of breweries in Portland proper that we missed. So here's kind of a quick scope of the trip, and you can read about this at fegherb.blogspot.com, which is the Poor Traveler site. It's in, I think, seven 6 or 7 different parts.
Yeah.
I tend to sometimes maybe get a little long-winded. I prefer the term descriptive in my writing.
Yes.
I was a creative writing English major in college, so kind
of. You can never
be
too descriptive when you're taking a trip of that magnitude.
No doubt.
Yeah. Feel no guilt.
The level of detail is impressive. Like you tell us everything you awesome. Saw. It's great.
Well, you know, I got into blogging and writing beer. I first started doing beer advocate reviews. That's kind of how I got into it. I was looking for something. I was like, oh, wow, this craft beer thing is a new passion of mine. And I hadn't really been writing as much as I'd liked. So I thought it was a good way to marry, you know, two interests of mine. So that's how I started getting into it. And then with the advent of blogs, and I started getting into that a little more. And we started traveling as time and money became more as we got older, I guess. But the trip to Portland was pretty epic, and in that we really were able to do a lot in a short period of time. I usually plan our trips pretty thoroughly. I first start by putting together just a list of places. I go on Beer Advocate or a similar site and look and see what some of the better rated or better reviewed sites are, breweries. There's also this great site called the Beer Mapping Project, where it's just kind of like a map of the United States, and there's all these little push pins in it, and it just has where breweries are located. So a lot of times when I'm putting together an itinerary, I'll use that site. It really helps out a lot. But for this particular trip, we hit Portland proper, as well as the Hood River area, Eugene, and then we did a little bit of coastal driving from Lincoln City all the way up to Tillamook, which is where DeGard is. And then we shot back over and spent the last 2.5 days in Portland and then took a red eye home. And there were a couple days where we hit double digit breweries. There are, I think, 2 days where we hit 10 in one day. And a couple pointers for traveling like that, sampler flights are your friend.
Yes.
It's definitely, because I like to go, unfortunately, a lot of these breweries, especially out in Portland, man, the beer scene is so mature out there, and there's so many good breweries doing really cool, unusual things, and they all kind of have their own vibe and kind of philosophy of brewing. So, man, there are so many places that I went to, and I'm looking at the beer list, and I'm like, I literally want to try every beer on this menu. You know, sometimes you go to a place and it's like, oh yeah, here's our pale ale, here's our brown ale, here's our, you know, yada yada bullshit styles that are just boring. But out there, it's like, we went to this place called Great Notion, which probably, you know, they've only been around for about 2 years.
And where is that?
It's in Portland.
It's in Portland. Okay.
Yeah. I think it's on Martin Luther King Drive in north, like the northeast part of Portland. Not too far from
breweries are.
Yeah, there's a lot of good ones up
kidding.
There.
I'm just joking.
And it's close to the airport, too. So we went there, and they had beers. Like, they had an Imperial Stout aged with, like, maple syrup, and they had a blueberry muffin beer, and just, like, these zesty IPAs, and all this really cool sound stuff. Some Berliner Weisses with fruit, and really interesting stuff, and everything I had there was amazing. It was like, wow. And to top it off, their next door neighbors had 2 goats, which was really cool. And anyone who follows me on Facebook or is friends with me knows that I'm a huge
you goat are pro
lover.
Goat
a totally pro goat. Oh my god. Yeah.
What, you're a big fan of the goat races down at Sly Fox, right? Yeah.
Oh yeah. Yeah. That's my favorite sporting event of all time. Peggy, the three-legged goat, is my favorite athlete of all time.
You know, they do goat races in Midtown. I'll have to send you the spot for it. Yeah. There's
I can't believe I don't know about that.
Yeah. I drive past the sign.
Don't worry, Fetch. First, I've heard of it.
Not Midtown, sorry, Middletown. Middletown.
Oh, Middletown. I thought you said Midtown.
Middletown.
Like,
yeah.
But that's for a different goat podcast. I don't need to get into my goat infatuation.
Why goat the goat? Cast. Why the goat? It is a noble animal, I will agree.
They're cool looking. They're funny. They're stubborn. Yeah. I like the way they kick their legs a lot. And they're
sideways
just
eyes.
Like they make yeah, their eyes are cool and they make the coolest sound of any animal.
Yeah.
They like if you ever go on like Google goat screaming videos.
Oh, those are fantastic.
Some of the funniest shit. Like, you know?
And I prefer goat one, painting videos.
But there's this one where a guy took all these heavy metal songs and he dubbed in goats doing the vocals. Oh my God. It's like one of the funniest things. There's like a Slayer one, like doing Angel of Death, and a goat comes out and he's like, it was freaking
your
awesome.
Fist to the metal child.
That was really close to me doing a spit take there.
Yeah. But yeah, I digress. We can move along from the goat chatter as much as I love talking about them.
No problem. So when when you're deciding to do this trip, how meticulous are you about the planning, the scheduling? Are you saying, look, we're going to be here noon to one, noon to two, then we move? Are you planning the travel time, those kinds of things?
To an extent, yes. I try to plan out the day as much as possible. I try not to put too much thought into exactly how long we're going to stay at one place, because obviously if you go to a place that you really, really like, you don't want to shortchange yourself. You kind of want to stay and experience it. But by the same token, if you go to a place and it sucks or you're just not digging it, mm-hmm. you know, you can kind of get out of there. But by and large, I try to look at places that are kind of close together so it doesn't require as much driving.
Yep.
Because I end up driving the whole trip usually. There was one time when we went to California when I met Vinny from Russian River at Lagunitas beer garden soft opening that I got really, really drunk and my wife had to drive. But 99% of the time I'm driving around and it definitely took us a while to kind of fine tune and dial in our way of doing things, you know, because obviously it's easy to drink too much and get stranded, get stranded somewhere, especially when it's only the two of us. So we like sampler flights and we like sharing beers, to try as many as possible and, you know, take time in between visits to the breweries, eat a lot and drink a lot of water. And,
And you're taking
that kind of works for us.
You're taking notes the whole time, tasting notes, notes about the breweries themselves. How do you construct these posts after you're done?
You know, I used to be more anal about my note taking, especially back in my Beer Advocate review days.
I remember these days, Fed.
Yeah. Oh man, I used to be the guy, you know, sitting over there in a corner with a little notebook, and I kind of got out of that because I felt like I was being antisocial. Then Untappd came along, and that became like, you know, one of my best friends. So that kind of serves as my log for the beers. And honestly, I didn't really take any notes other than the names of the breweries that we went to on what days. And then I checked on all my beers in Untappd. And then when I went back to write about each place, I just looked at the pictures that we took and referred to my Untappd blog. And that was about it. Like, I did the blog quickly enough after we got back that it was all still fresh in my mind, which is saying a lot because, man, my mind is like a sieve half the time. Like,
but eventually, the taking the pictures and the social media has to take a backseat to the experience of I'm getting beers here and I'm enjoying them. And I mean, I do the same thing where I told Tierney at the Litters Fest, she goes, oh, you're taking pictures of everything. I go, give it five beers and I'll be like, I don't even care anymore. I'm like, I just want to experience the beers. And
exactly.
It becomes, you want to just experience the beers. You don't care about taking pictures and putting them on Instagram. And that's a whole thing. So,
yeah. And most of our pictures just included our traveling companion, Pleplius.
I know.
That's the monkey, right?
Yeah.
That's the little monkey. Yeah, we call him Pleeps for short. But anyone who's a fan of Zane Lamprey's shows, Three Sheets, They're Drinking Made Easy, know about Pleplius, and he's
Drinking Made Easy.
He's kind of he's kind of my wife's photo stand-in because she hates getting a picture taken. And Polypolis is very camera-friendly. He loves getting recognized by people, and he gets recognized quite a bit when we're traveling. We probably strike up conversations with people, I'd say, 4 to 5 times on any given trip we take, which is kind of cool. He likes the attention.
I think you like the attention, too.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it's cool. I mean, we have a whole couch of stuffed animals that over there. I don't know if you can, probably can't see, but probably like 50 or 60 of them that are just all hanging out. And that's kind of like, you know, our little family. We don't have kids, but we have a bunch of these little stuffed animals that are all named. Oh. And I probably shouldn't be talking about this on a beer mug. People are going to think I'm some kind of freaking idiot, but you know, it's just like something that we think is just kind of funny and cool. And I mean, I'm an animal lover to begin with. So, our lifestyle doesn't really afford us the opportunity to have a pet. Cause I would probably have like 3 dogs, an aquarium, a couple goats out back. And, but we're traveling so much and all my bands and everything, it's just, we can't do it.
It doesn't lend yourself to that type of responsibility. And that's understandable though.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, at least we know that we're not responsible enough.
Yeah, exactly.
That's good.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, when you're doing these trips, a lot of people say this, I don't agree with it, but a lot of people say that, you know, you've seen one brewing tour, you've seen them all, like all these breweries just kind of look the same. I think that if the brewery tour is good, you can figure out how they are different. What are the idiosyncrasies, the differences between the breweries, brew tour guide should be able to tell you how they do things slightly different. Do you do the brew tours?
You know what, we did initially when we first started traveling, and some of them are good, some of them not so good. But on the last couple of trips we've taken, we haven't really done it, only because I work at a brewery every day, so I'm around it all the time. And I like really learning more about the brewery by just going into the tasting room and talking to the locals. You really get to learn a lot about that area and the culture just by talking. Like, I hate going into places that have loud TVs, and even, like, as much as I'm a music fan, like loud music, that's the one thing I love about Seelan's Grove. And there were a lot of places out in Portland that didn't have TVs. Although the Olympics were on while we were out there, so I did appreciate some places that did have TVs so I could watch gymnastics.
There can be exceptions.
I'm a big gymnastics fan. But by and large, I mean, we've met some great people on trips, some of whom we still keep in touch with from time to time when we travel and whatnot, or, you know, kind of keep correspondence via Facebook or email. And that, to me, is the reason why we like traveling for beer so much. I remember when we were going out to California the one year, my wife's mom was like, oh, why are you guys going out to California? And Brandy says, to drink beer. And she's like, can you do that at home? And we're like, well, yeah, we can.
But it's not the same. You
know, it's not, yeah, right, yeah, it's a totally different experience.
But not 3 hours later.
Yeah, right. I mean, like having a beer on the deck or the outside porch at like Pizza Port in San Diego is like a completely different experience than, you know, hanging out with the local crowd up at Seelan's Grove, or, you know, my work buddies at Trogues, or, you know, up at Marshall Wharf when we went up to Maine, just like hanging out. It was like this, you know, with all these lobster traps and old boats around us, and like hard-boiled eggs on the bar instead of peanuts, and just like every experience is like totally unique. And yeah, you have places that you go to that are cookie cutter, you know, places that aren't that exciting, but you kind of learn after a while which places to avoid and which places that you definitely have to hit.
Where all have you gone? So you've gone to California, gone to Oregon, you've done Maine, the Northeast.
Funny that you mentioned that, because I, for my next blog, or one of my next blogs, I decided to put together a comprehensive list of every brewery that we've visited in the country. And I'm still working on it because, you know, there's some that escape your memory. But right now, I think my tally is up to about 450 different breweries in, around the country.
Wow.
Which
my goodness.
Is a pretty good amount. I'm pretty happy to say.
Pretty good?
And that's that took us about 10 years, I think.
You've seen more places than the Rolling Stones in this country, I think. So, Jesus.
Well, some of them are in Canada. So, for our Drinksgiving trips, we've done the first one. We went out and did a pretty comprehensive tour in Michigan, and then the year after that, we went to Asheville.
Love.
And then Asheville is great. Unfortunately, that was the only time we've been there. Then after Asheville, we went up to Athens, Ohio, to go to Jackie O's.
Ooh,
and, nice. And some other places, which was really cool. And then we also went to Montreal, Quebec, which was an awesome trip. Then let's see, Charleston, South Carolina, and then we did Raleigh, Durham, North Carolina.
The Triangle.
Oh. Yeah, the Triangle. Yeah,
so great. Good.
Great music, great beers.
We did a Western PA jaunt one year, which was we kind of drove up through State College, then up the Southern Tier, and then down through Erie, Meadville, Pittsburgh, and then back home. That was kind of cool. And where did we go last year? It's funny, I can't remember the one we did last year.
He's tagging her in.
Yeah. Chicago.
yeah, we did Chicago. So we hit three Floyd's and whatnot on the way out. But we've done great tasting in the Midwest a couple times. So we were Madison, Wisconsin is one of my favorite beer cities. Obviously, San Diego. I think we've been to six times in the last decade.
Oh my god!
No Denver yet.
I have a friend who lives out there. Yeah, this is my favorite city. It's both of our favorite cities in the country. We love going out there, and we have a friend that we stay with. San Diego, man, oh my god. Although, I'll tell you what, that Portland trip that we just did, almost beats it, at least for breweries. The weather in San Diego is kind of what takes the cake for me.
Sure.
It's on my short list. Once I went to Denver, I'm like, got to go to the West Coast, no humidity.
Ah.
Okay.
We did do Denver one year. We planned it around a Rush Red Rocks concert, and we did... We did Fort Collins, Denver, Boulder, Colorado Springs, Fort Collins. So that was a cool trip. Yeah, we did everywhere in New England. I think we've been to every state. Jeez, where else?
North and South Carolina.
North and South Carolina, I said. I guess that's about it. You know, wow. A lot of stuff in the Midwest we haven't hit. One that's on my list for quite a while is Minnesota. I really want to get out to Surly and Town Hall, and there's a ton of places out there now that, you know, I haven't heard of.
This week's the week to get out to Surly. They're releasing The Darkness this week.
Oh, yeah, man.
I really like haven't had that. I haven't had that.
Oh, no. Oh, man, if you came to Fetch in July 2 or 3 years ago, we had an entire vertical of it, like 8 years
Ooh.
Of it. You got. Oh, yeah, I guess that's a good segue to kind of talk about
my... When is Fetch in July? let's talk about it.
So Fetch in July... This coming July will be the 15th year have had it, and it's basically just this backyard bash that I have in July. Most people think it's my birthday, but my birthday is actually in March. I always have people come up and say, "Hey, happy birthday," and I'm like, "No, it's not my birthday, but thanks." So it's kind
of
like this.
Thanks
big...
for not understanding the premise of the party, but that's
well, yeah, a lot of friends of friends come, you know, over the years because it's kind of snowballed. When I first started having it, it was like, you know, 50 people in my backyard and some live music. And then over the years, I try to add to it every year. So we eventually built a stage, got more bands, got Pizza Boy involved. Al brews like a beer for me every year. Magic Underwear was actually brewed for this last year's party, and he's canned it, which I was really stoked about.
Nice beer.
He gets the glasses made for me. Yeah, yeah. Awesome beer. I was super stoked about it.
Weird,
it came out great.
Weird name. It's a reference.
You have to
like
understand. Mormons, so, yeah, right? Here's the reference. So every Fetch of July has a based on the number, has a reference to something I'm into. For example, the third one was called Return of the Fedjai. The 11th one was called Fedja July Goes to 11, because I'm a big Spinal Tap fan.
Hell yeah.
And all of them have different references. So the 14th one, I was kind of stuck on. I was like, how, you know, what am I going to name that? So I did a little bit of research and found that Joseph Smith, the guy who founded Mormonism, was 14 years old when he had his vision. And the term magic underwear comes from kind of a derogatory way of referring to the type of undergarments that Mormons wear.
Yep.
So we did a kind of play on words with magic underwear.
It's a question.
It's a question. Yeah. Yeah. But Terry really liked it, and I didn't think it was going to fly. And I certainly didn't think that they were going to release the beer, because they typically just make it for my party and have it on tap and then it's done. So I was really excited when they decided to can it, because it turned out great. It's such a simple beer. It's basically a Simcoe Hop Bomb, and that's what I asked for. I said, make like a 5% Simcoe Hop Bomb. Boom. And he knocked that out of the park. It's just an excuse to have a big party in my backyard. And like I said, it's grown over the years. We actually built an awesome band shell, like an amphitheater in my backyard. It's a carport, for lack of a better term, but once a year, it's
very awesome.
Yeah, yeah. So it's just something that I live for. I love having it. I mean, I have a lot of people, I guess I like to call friends. Ed's been there a couple times. Ed actually had the pleasure of roasting me.
A couple?
You've been there for what, about?
I went there 8 years in a row.
Has it been that many?
Oh, I knew Ben before I knew you. Yeah.
I know. Well, yeah. Ed and I have known each other for 10 years. I mean, the first firkin I ever had at Seelands Grove, Ed went up with us. It was Brandy, Ed and I, and we went up for a firkin of Hop Nouveau. And we get 2 miles before the exit of Seelands Grove, and traffic was stopped. Turns out that some mail truck exploded right up the road, and we were stuck there for 2 hours, and we were just sitting there. Finally, we get there, and we literally got the last two pints.
Yeah,
got the last two pints. It was practically vertical.
I literally think we should just all have gotten out and just left the car. That would it would have.
I know. Yeah.
Fucking,
no, but
I'm
that
running.
Was a great time. I was very happy to go up with you guys for that. It was such a good time, and although, you know, unfortunate circumstances, but that was great. No.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Seelands Grove. You brought it up. I know that Ed fetishized that brewery. He really loves it. I love it too. He loves it for what they are, for their concept. Also for the quality of their beers, I know. But he really loves their business model and their purity. Is that fair to say, Ed?
Yes, I would say that that's accurate.
Right now, it may not be on today, but right currently they've had Saison Depeche on, which, Jeff, you've been running out there to get your hands on a couple of times now, right?
Who?
Sorry,
Jeff?
Fej.
Oh.
Fej.
I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
We've been up the past 6 weekends in a row.
Wow.
Goddamn.
I honestly cannot quantify my love for this place in the words. It's the place that is my benchmark for everywhere that I travel. I absolutely love everything about it, from the owners to the people to the look of the place, the atmosphere, and obviously the beer is world class, and it's just this tiny place. You know, they don't do festivals, they don't package their beer. You have to go there and experience it. And we've been going there for the last decade, and I still, when we get a mile or 2 miles away from the exit, I feel like a kid on Christmas morning every time I go there, still to this day. I just get so excited about that place, and it's special, man. I feel really privileged to live as close as I do to that place. And I mean, even though we live an hour and 15 minutes away, we're regulars, you know, the staff know us by name. The owners have invited us into their yard to play with their dogs, you know, have given us beers that we missed out on because they just know us from going up there. And it's really more like a family than anything for me. I mean, a friend of ours that we met from there, who's actually the mayor of Selins Grove now, his wife recently passed away, and we actually went to her viewing. That's how close everybody is up there. And I think that speaks a lot for the place. And the place was packed with, you know, his friends from the brewery. I think that's a pretty cool thing. I mean, it sucks under the circumstances it was, but
yeah,
I think that speaks volumes just about how kind of close knit those people are up there. And that means a lot to me because, like I said earlier, that's what I really love about traveling for beer, are the people that you meet. Aside yeah. from the beer you're drinking, you know, that's a big part of it for me.
A lot about beer for me is about the people, the friends I have that I drink beers with, who are my beer friends.
No doubt.
The people I meet, because I'm a sociable guy. I like to sit at the bar and sit down next to some guy and be like, what are you having? Do you like it?
Yeah.
What are you doing?
Absolutely. I'm the same way. Most of my best friends I've met because of beer.
Yeah.
Ed
here is a testament to that as well.
You know? Hey, I've met both of you because of beer.
That's right, yeah.
Definitely. It's 100%. Yeah. Definitely.
And beer is a social lubricant, right? You have a beer, mm-hmm. And the beer is a conduit towards maybe a deeper relationship with someone, learning who they are, and welcoming them to a little bit of your life.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's cool.
And I guess Selins Grove is probably a good place for that. It's a beautiful little bar.
Oh, it's amazing. Just everything they do there, no TVs. However, we're just going to get people in here no matter what. It is unbelievable and a piece of history. It's the old Governor Snyder's mansion. How would you not want to go? And they cannot have open flames. They cannot have fryers. They bring all the food in from all the local markets and stuff. It is amazing what they do there for as little as they do. And I cannot recommend it more to anybody. It's unbelievable. And Fedge and I have gone there a couple of times, and it's unreal. It's so good.
And they've been doing it for 20 years this year.
Yeah.
It's their 20th anniversary.
Wow. Oh, yeah, that's right. 96 they started. They were the originators of the small brewery archetype, and it's so good. It's very cool.
I do think that is their secret sauce, their size, because they're able to have this commitment to being this small brewery, this small bar, and because they're not looking at issues like scale, quality becomes job number one.
Yeah. You know, it's funny that you mentioned that. I was just one of my last visits up there a couple weeks ago. Steve came out, Steve the owner and the brewer, and he was in rare form. He was he likes to drink the doubles and the triples. They're like his thing. And he was hitting the triple pretty hard the one night. I could tell he came out and he just had this look on his face. And he was bitching about, he's like, I'm just a fucking janitor here, you know? He's like, that's all I do is I scrub tanks, I clean this and yada yada yada. He's going on, and I'm like,
being a brewer is like being a janitor.
Yeah, right. And I
it's
said,
always cleanup.
But I told him, I said, see, you might think that, but to me, you're a true artisan. I said, in this day and age of all the technological advancements, I mean, like even at Trogs, you know, we have like this really sophisticated state-of-the-art system where it's a lot of button pushing, and that's not, you know, saying anything disparaging against Trogs, because, you know, we're on a much bigger scale and you need to have that type of automation to, you know, keep consistent levels of quality, you know, with all of our beers. But there's just something about, you know, getting in and shoveling out the mash tun and, you know, doing all that cleaning. It's just another thing that makes me love that place, you know?
Yeah.
It puts his blood, sweat, and tears into it. And it's awesome.
Yeah, it is. the best example of a small brewery that can sustain itself on its product and just the appeal of the place on its own. And I love that.
Yeah, it's great.
Absolutely.
I think this offers a nice little segue. Wait, we got new beers.
All right.
Ed.
All right.
Yes.
Ed, you're up. What do you got?
All right. I have the Flying Dog Azeka. It's part of their single hop series. I'll tell you exactly what I think right now.
I like Flying Dog.
Ooh. It's very citrusy, very sweet. Very few malts in that. And I think if you want a sweet IPA, that's where you're going to go. Love it. Very good.
Cool. Mm-hmm. Veg, what did you got?
I'm sticking with Pizza Boy, and I'm imbibing the Tears of the Entitled.
Oh.
I'm having a Haters Tears. Goes.
Oh, no.
I love that beer. It's so good.
It's one of the better interpretations of the style I've had, and it's one of our favorite styles. My wife and I both love Gozes and Berliner Weisses.
Yes.
And they killed this one, man. This one's up there with some of the best ones I've had.
It's
really
beer.
Salty.
Yeah, it is. It really is.
Yeah.
But it's refreshing and crisp and
very refreshing.
Man, that's a good summer beer. That is such a nice beer. Also the story behind it's fantastic.
It is pretty awesome. Only Al.
Yeah.
I love Al's troll job on that. Man. That's fantastic.
It's such a subtle fuck you. It's so good.
Oh, yeah. Subtle. That might as well be internet. Fuck you.
Yeah, that's fair enough. Yeah, I love that beer. I did a nice write up on that one. I'll have to put it in the show notes. Okay, so my beer is this is selfishly, I decided to drink this tonight. It's a 2015 Impending Descent.
Ooh. Nice.
Yeah, I went with a Troj beer because we have Fej on, and mostly because I want to ensure that they keep making this beer. Yes. I love this beer, and when they first put it out, they named it after it. It had come off like that scratch process and became a named beer. I bought two cases of it that first year, and I bought two cases of it every year since it's come out. And I'm trying to do a 24-year vertical. So you got to keep making it.
Got to keep making it. Well, so far, so good. We have more coming out. Actually, that would have been great for me. Oh, man, I should have brought it home. I totally forgot. But I have a bottle of the upcoming barrel-aged version sitting on my desk because I did our sales director a favor the other day, and he had some for samples, and he gave me a bottle of it. He's like, just keep it on the download. Don't check it in on Tapped or anything. So,
Do I have to edit that?
No, because I didn't drink it.
I love how he treats you like a teenage boy.
Don't check it in.
Yeah, they know me too well.
Don't check it in, you amateur.
Yeah, right. But I'm pretty excited for that one to come out. We're releasing it on Black Friday under the Splinter series, and it's the first time we're doing a barrel-aged version of it. But that beer probably dethroned Nugget Nectar for me as my favorite Trogs beer until this past summer, Nimble Giant.
Nimble Giant is so good.
In my opinion, I loved Trogs long before I worked there, and they're the reason I got into craft beer to begin with. But okay. Nimble Giant is far and away the best thing that they've ever put out. I cannot get enough of that beer.
Can I ask you now, what I describe Nimble Giant is the parents went away from the house and the kids were left alone, and they all of a sudden made this great that like, oh my God, they had a pool party, you know? Oh, wait, it was awesome. So, and is that because I know they didn't want to do a huge IPA, but
yeah.
Do you think that was just something where they were like, hey, we want to do this thing? And they, I mean, who caved on that? Because I know that wasn't their vision.
Yeah. So the story behind that was we were just experimenting with hop combinations,
right,
through the Scratch Beer series, and we just hit on this one combo, and they just latched onto it and really couldn't let go of it. It just kind of like consumed them. And
who had the say on that?
What's that?
Who had the say on that?
John Trogner.
No, really?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But it was just one of those things where they hit it, and we weren't looking to do like another seasonal or once a year, especially like a double IPA.
Okay.
I mean, perpetual is kind of like straddles that line. You know, we call it an imperial pale ale. It's an IPA for all intents and purposes.
The nerds would be like, no, it's not.
Yeah, right.
too pale.
Yeah, Nimble Giant was kind of like one of those happy accidents in that it wasn't necessarily a complete accident where it was like, oh, let's just see what happens. But I mean, they were kind of working towards something and just stumbled upon upon the recipe.
It came out of nowhere and was amazing. I love that.
I bought a case of the bottles in 2015 in the summer when they first put that out.
We did put a name out, yeah.
And it was a very limited run. And I'm like, holy shit, they named something. I got to get down there.
Yep.
And I ran down at lunch. I bought a case of it. And
at lunch?
Yeah.
Jesus.
I used to do that all the time. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Back before I worked at Trogs, man, I used to work right across the river in Camp Hill on Erford Road. I was at the brewery 3 times a week minimum. I would bag my lunch and take it down there and sit there and talk to Jess or Jason behind the counter and just eat my lunch and have a couple samples. This was back before they even were selling pints in there.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Oh, yeah. That is so amazing.
I love the old place. Can you guys get a downtown location again? Just like something.
And we'll just do the scratch room there.
Yeah.
And then you guys can have the big brewery up there.
Well, you know, Habitat for Humanity owns the building now, or at least occupies
it.
Yes,
yes.
They have the restore there. So we actually do some events with Habitat for Humanity throughout the year, one of which is their art auction that they do annually. Phil Holland, our sales manager, is active in that. And they've been in touch with me about potentially doing some kind of Trogs happy hour event to benefit Habitat for Humanity at the old brewery. Matter of fact, I just emailed the guy back today. So without going into too much detail, because I don't know if it's going to happen, but that's something that I'm looking into. I think that would be really cool because there are a lot of fans of the brewery that are very nostalgic for the old brewery, myself included. So if we can make it happen, you know, logistically, I think it would be kind of fun.
It would be fun. I wonder if it still smells like beer in there.
Probably not. Who knows?
Probably not. But back to Nimble Giant. When I bought a case of it in 2015, I handed it out to everyone I could find. I was like, guys, you've got to try this. It's one, it was a remarkable beer. Two, I couldn't believe Trogs was making it. It felt like they had stepped outside of what was, their comfort zone in a lot of the flavor profiles, and especially with its aggressive use of the hops. And I just loved the beer. I was so excited for it. And the fact that it was named, I was like, we're going to see this again. In order to ensure we're going to see it again, I shared it widely with a lot of my beer friends, and they all agreed. And when it came back this year, especially in Pounders, loved that it was in Pounders. It was really great. It's fantastic beer. And I do love that it was a once a year beer, because you know what? It's great. Give it to me. I'm excited. I buy 2 cases. I enjoyed it all summer. It's gone. And you know what? When it comes back next year, I'm going to be excited for it again. I'm not going to get burned out on it, you know?
Exactly. And that's what a lot of people don't get, unfortunately. You know, same thing with Nugget Nectar. You would not believe how many emails I get at work from people, from fans, customers, asking why Nugget Nectar isn't a year-round beer. And it's kind of like the whole, you know, if Christmas was every day, it wouldn't be as special. That's kind of the way I look at it. And it's the same way with Nimble Giant. Would I like that beer to be around all year? Yeah, sure. Why not? But it loses some of its specialness. Is that a word? I don't know.
That's what I was thinking. Specialness.
Yeah. But is
there also not a seasonal thing to that where we can't brew it year round because of what we put into it?
Sure. Yeah. It is a very expensive beer for us to make. And, you know, time consuming. Plus, you know, with all of our other beers throughout the year, Maddow, for example, and Nugget Nectar season are extremely hectic at the brewery. A lot goes into each of those beers. Both beers are very time consuming, expensive to make. So, and they're very popular. So
right.
We have to, you know, afford a lot of time for those beers.
Speaking of Mad Elf, comes out on Monday.
It does come out on Monday. You know, and I was just on Facebook earlier tonight reading all the interesting comments from people about the new label. And
I like it.
There's so many people
that
complain. They complain about that beer coming out. It comes out earlier every year. It comes out the same week every year. It's always like. Yeah. Actually, this year it came out two days later because last year it came out on the 15th. But we always put it out like the second or third Monday of the month.
Mm-hmm.
Or the second, whatever, in the middle of October, and then we put the draft out in the middle of November. And there's always people that are complaining about that, you know. Oh, it's a Christmas beer. Technically, it is a holiday beer, but it was brewed more for to have on the table for Thanksgiving.
Ooh.
And then that's kind of the start off the holidays. Yeah.
Yeah.
And from Thanksgiving to Christmas, not just Christmas.
Right.
So that's kind of the reason why it comes out a little earlier.
Well, which is it should. It definitely should.
And you guys,
you
got a big distribution footprint. It takes time to get the bottles out into the real retail space, right?
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, yeah. Obviously, Central Pennsylvania is our main market, and it gets pushed out there first. You know, when we have it on sale at the brewery, it's Wilsbach has it, and it's on sale everywhere in Central Pennsylvania. But like Nugget Nectar, as well, you know, it takes a couple weeks to get it out to all of our other markets. We do distribute to 10 different states.
Wow.
So that's something that people don't realize.
So 10 states, you're going as far north, what, New York? Do you go above New York, Connecticut?
We're in Connecticut and Mass.
Okay. And then
as well as New York. And then as far south as North Carolina.
North Carolina. Okay.
And we're also in Ohio.
Okay.
Wow. Yeah, and then all the states that touch Pennsylvania, with the exception of West Virginia.
Well, screw them.
they have a lot of weird. Yeah.
Screw them and their great speed limits. Yay!
Let's change gears a little bit here. There's a campaign that Trogs has started online, and I just absolutely love these videos. It pairs well with now. These videos where you are doing about 2-3 minutes with a restaurant owner, a chef, talking about, you're not even really talking about the beer. That's like the great thing about it to me. Like the beer is subtly exists within the storyline. They're talking about their work. They're talking about what the end of their day is like. So, you know, chefs, restaurateurs, they work incredibly hard. Long hours, on your feet, hot, sweaty, difficult labor. People don't necessarily respect or understand how hard it is to work in a restaurant. And at the end of their day, they want something good and simple. And so you're talking about what kind of foods they like to prepare, where they like to go to unwind or relax. And the beer is a subtle part of that. I think it's a brilliant ad campaign. Where did this come from? And how did you pick who you're going and talking to? Can you talk about that? Do you know?
Yeah, I know a little bit about it. It came from a collaborative marketing department effort that was put together by our marketing director, campaign manager, and content manager. And basically, we've been doing these quarterly campaigns that revolve around one of our seasonal beers or something that we want to focus on that particular quarter. And with this one, we really wanted to focus on the harvest season. It's a time of gathering and drinking and eating, you know, with friends. Hop Knife is that kind of beer. It's also a beer that is kind of an anomaly this time of year. It's a lot of fest beers and pumpkin beers out. So this is kind of like a hoppy beer for the time that kind of stands out on its own. And we decided to pair that with these food notes that we're doing, these illustrated food notes that kind of describe the flavors that are incorporated into our beer and what kind of foods go well with them. So I don't know if you have ever seen the food notes that we have, but they were illustrated by one of our by our in-house designer, who I think did a really beautiful job putting these together.
They're beautiful.
And yeah, they're really nice. And they're very unique to the industry. Like no one, like we've gotten a lot of really, really good feedback from our wholesaler partners and from like, especially retail chains that we were in, like Wegmans, for example, because it really focuses on the food element as well. And it's something that a lot of breweries just didn't really think of latching onto. So we kind of took that and decided to run with it. And they came up with this idea to focus on some popular chefs in some of our bigger focus markets. So like, you know, your bigger markets like Philly, Pittsburgh, Cleveland, so some of the, you know, the bigger metropolitan areas. And then they just got together with them and, you know, talked to them about what their philosophies are about cooking and beer pairing and, you know, what they like to drink and how they like to unwind after a shift. And I think it was just this really nice casual thing that really works well with beer culture, honestly. So I think it was a home run. I think it worked out really nice. It was, you know, something that was subtly done and worked well with kind of the Trogues ethos, as yeah. It were.
I do think it's a really nice campaign. It sounds like it's a little bit seasonal. I kind of hope it's not. I liked this little window into these chefs' lives a little bit about how they end their day. They're nice yeah. stories. They're short. And really, this maybe cycles back with this concept of some of these once-a-year beers. Each one left me with a little more. Like, well, how'd they actually make what they're eating there? Why can't I make that? And that concept of leaving you wanting a little bit more, I rewatched them because I wanted to kind of pick up some little subtleties in them. They're nice. Sure. I'll put a link into the show notes so that listeners, you can see these if you haven't. They're nicely shot. They're talking with interesting people. And if this campaign continues, I would like to see it. I think that it's
nice.
It's a very, I think it's very, you said it nicely. It fits within the Trogues ethos. Yeah. And when I think of a way to campaign in this modern sense of social media and online, man, you can't do much better than what you guys had with that.
Awesome. Yeah. I'm glad you like it. The thing that I really like about it, is kind of the subtlety of its presentation in that, We're kind of not telling people like, hey, drink this beer with this dish. We're giving them kind of flavor cues that exist within the beer and saying, you know, we're kind of nudging them towards flavors that can be pulled out of different food or ingredients more so than actual food items and saying like, hey, you know, we experiment a lot at the brewery. You can experiment in the kitchen and maybe come up with your own creations. And that's kind of how it started. So yeah. I think it is really, and we're kind of supporting the whole campaign too with events in all of our markets. We're doing Pairsware with Now Events, and we're doing different pairing events at restaurants, whether it's like burgers, tacos, pizza, cheese, or any kind of other foods. Pairing events have gotten pretty big in the last year or two. We do a lot of them now, and this was a good way to kind of to tie in the beer with the campaign and with the food.
Do you know what beer always pairs well with? Friends.
What's that?
Friends.
That's right. No doubt.
Yeah. All right. Let's kind of wrap this up a little bit. Let me ask you about something that you have coming up. Your band.
Oh, yeah.
Solar Federation, correct?
Yes.
You're going to be playing at the Columbia Kettleworks. Did I see that?
Actually, that's a different band.
That's a different band. Which band's playing there?
I'm in like six bands.
He's a Dave Grohl of Central PA.
Serious question. You got a
just not as rich.
You got a full-time job at a brewery, which I'm guessing is more than 40 hours a week, right? I mean,
sometimes. Mostly 40 hours.
Okay. You travel.
Yeah.
You hit up all these breweries, and you're in. You just said six bands. So have you? Do you sleep, or do you just always run?
You know, I sleep like 8 hours a night.
Hey, man, good for you.
Yeah.
So, I'm sorry. Which band is this that's playing at Columbia?
So Columbia Kettleworks this Saturday is a band called Think Tank Musicarium. We're a duo. I play hand percussion, and there's a guy, Aaron, who plays acoustic guitar and sings, but he uses this device called a loop station. So he can play his guitar and record parts or loops through this loop station. So it sounds like there's five of us on stage, and we can loop percussion effects. He can do like, he has a pedal board where he does like bass effects, and he can kind of layer different guitar parts over one another. And it's really cool. I've been playing with him now for about 6 years. And we play at a lot of local places, particularly beer bars and breweries. We've played at Snitz Creek, Columbia Kettleworks, Appalachian Brewing Company, and a bunch of local places like Funk's, Mount Gretna Hideaway. So we play around a lot because it's an easy setup. There's just two of us.
Yeah.
Solar Federation is much, much larger. The drum set that I use in that band is pretty ridiculous. If you've ever seen Neil Peart's drum set from Rush, it's gargantuan.
If it's half of his, it's big.
it's more than half. I mean, I don't have all the electronic stuff behind me, but it's pretty close to what he uses. That band, we do have a couple shows coming up. We're playing on November 12th in Carlisle at, of all places, the Midway Bowl Center, or the bowling alley.
Nice.
And they recently started having bands there. They built a stage, and it looks great. They have a full bar. They have craft beer. They have Perpetual available, and they have like a full bar and food. So we're playing there on Saturday the 12th, and then the week after that we're playing – I'm really excited about this show at the Ephrata Main Theater in Ephrata, which is just about a mile down the road from St. Boniface, one of my favorite local places. And
love them.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's going to be a really cool show because we're essentially opening for Rush. And by that, I mean we're doing a 90-minute set, and then afterwards, we're showing the entire Rush 40th anniversary tour movie on the big screen. So it's going to be like a four-hour event, and it's going to be pretty sweet. And we're doing a set that's all different songs than what they played on that tour. So that's going to be pretty fun. So if there's any Rush fans out there listening to this podcast, check us out at solarfederationband.com.
Sweet. Well, we'll definitely put those links in the show notes.
Oh, awesome.
Cool. All right.
But hey, I wanted to ask you guys, I know we're wrapping up and everything, and one of the things that I did do was I checked out your Central PA six pack.
Oh, you know what? We do an after show.
Oh, okay.
We do an after show. We'll talk about that in the after show.
Let's do the after show.
We're going to do awesome. The after show. The after show is like big, you know, whatever. We'll talk about a whole bunch of different shit. All right. So let's wrap it up. Ed, anything left for the good of the order about the stuff we talked about so far?
No, I think we covered it all. I'm good.
All right. Fej, can you give them your Twitter handle and your blog again, and then whatever websites you have for your bands. And but don't worry, we'll put them in the show notes. But give it to your listener. What do you got?
All right, so you can follow me on Twitter at Fej Herb, FFEJHERB. It's basically Jeff backwards. For those of you who are a little slow,
haven't figured it out yet. Yeah,
yeah. A lot, but you'd be surprised. A lot of people think I'm like,
oh my god, I can't believe I knew you all along.
I didn't know. So I'm not extremely active on Twitter, but I'm on there. Facebook, Fej Herb. And the blog is fedgeherb.blogspot.com. It's called The Poor Travelers, P-O-U-R, Travelers. And I try to blog about once a week. Obviously, when I'm taking a trip, a little bit more verbose.
Yeah.
And I don't know. Most of my band stuff, I actually have a band page and schedule on The Poor Travelers blog that you can actually click on and check out. And that has links to all my various bands. So without giving you 700 links, if you just go there, you'll be able to find cool. pretty much everything about me.
Great.
Where's Herbie playing?
Oh, yeah.
No, goddamn. No, I'm sorry.
To figure out the Christmas show.
Let's wrap it up. Hey, to the listeners, we're going to cut to the after show. But this was a nice episode. Jeff, great. Fej. Thanks for coming on. Ed, always
thanks
good
for having me.
Ed, always good to have you on. And with that, this wasn't a complete shit show. So I think we'll do it again. See you in the after show.
Awesome.
Commence the operation shutdown after show.
So, you listened to the six pack. What'd you think?
That was good. I actually had, I think three of them were picks that I would have picked.
Oh yeah, what were those three?
Well, Perpetual.
Yeah.
Obviously. I was thinking about definitely Stouts, only because even though they haven't really changed a lot over the years, they were very influential in the early days. I mean, they were pretty much the forefathers of craft beer in Pennsylvania.
And
so,
they were also one of the big German brewers.
Yeah, no doubt. So I give a nod to either Scarlet Lady or Fat Dog would be maybe my other pick.
Yeah.
Scarlet
Lady came in mostly because of style. That ESBA style. I mean, I wanted to have one.
No, nobody brews that anymore.
Yeah. No, I know. Right. You're right. Yeah. It's a really good. It's a really good style.
Yeah.
Prima Pils obviously was on my list.
Oh, and Prima Pils, one of the best backyard beers you're ever going to buy in your life if you want a craft beer.
Yeah, easily. No doubt. Yeah, and I definitely agree with Sunny Side Up. It's
it might
be, if not the best coffee stout I've ever had, top three.
Oh yeah.
Yingling Porter.
You weren't buying
little,
that. Uh-oh.
First of all, I really don't consider them craft beer. I thought about maybe lager just because it's synonymous with the style, like in Pennsylvania.
Yeah,
but. I know they're considered craft.
Sure.
But I just don't consider them. Now, Lord Chesterfield, I maybe would consider.
You know
I
what?
Think that's a far superior beer.
Easy Pretzel, the other guy that regularly comes on here with Ed and I.
The guy with sexuality.
Yeah. Easy Pretzel, he said it should have been Lord Chesterfield, and I thought he was crazy.
Did you read my last blog? I talk about it.
I must have missed that part.
It was the one where we were up at the Mifflinburg Oktoberfest.
Oh yeah.
And we went over to the Scarlet D in Mifflinburg and they had it on tap, as well as the Porter. My wife got the Porter, I got the Lord Chesterfield. And you know what, man, it's one of my favorite shitty beers, I like to say. Like Genesee Cream Ale and Lion's Head.
There you go.
And I gotta say, Lord Chesterfield, probably even better than those two.
I would agree with that. Yeah. Ed and I did a shitty beer blog, or a shitty beer podcast where we...
Oh, I would love to be a part of that.
Go back and listen to it. I'll send you a link.
I'll tell you what.
It was a good one.
Maybe we should do another
one.
All right. You know what? Okay.
We kick off every Drinksgiving trip the first beer that we have is a shitty beer.
Yeah.
We find one on like when we get to the destination, we drink it that night in the hotel.
This actually sounds like every night of my life. Hey, you know what? I'm just going to drink Natty Bo, and you can go do whatever you want.
Nice. You are a big Natty Bo fan. I remember your avatar on BA used to be the Natty Bo head.
Yes, exactly. I'm glad that you remember that.
Hey,
Fedge, I'm so glad to do this podcast with you, by the way.
Wild Elf sounds like it's kicking in.
Yeah.
Well, he started off today with drinking pumpkin. God, dude.
$2. Jesus. $2 a pop.
Wow.
All right. So what do you want?
Can't beat that with a stick.
That's awesome.
Hey.
I thought the six pack was pretty good. Obviously, I wasn't sure because I saw some other beers that were kind of like honorable mentions. Obviously, I already talked about my love for Seelan's Grove, but I figured that it was if it was a six pack, it had to be something that was packaged.
That's correct,
and not just a draft only. So that's why I didn't include a Seelan's Grove. The one that I had on there that you guys didn't have on the list that I really like this beer a lot, and it's available in cans in the market, is St. Boniface Padilla.
Oh yeah,
I really like that. Wow,
that's
man.
A great beer.
It's so good.
Yeah, we should have thought about that.
But that's, I mean, I know they're, you know, they always fly just under the radar, man. And I really like their stuff. Like even from when they first came out, like I remember, you know, a lot of breweries that open now, they have some growing pains, and like right out of the gate, they're maybe a little weak or kind of hit or miss. Man, I remember having their stuff like when they first came out, like the Hegemony Stout and some of their other beers.
Nice stout.
Yeah, like right out of the gate.
It was very good.
And I just was impressed by them from the get-go. So they've kind of always been my unsung heroes of the Central PA brewing scene. I really like what they're doing. The owners are great. They got a cool little tasting room. Yeah. You know, they got the food trucks. And they're St. Boniface. It's awesome. We've been to it the last 2 years in a row, and it's great, man. I really like what they're doing, and I'm glad to see them expanding and doing some canning and starting to see a little bit of success. It's great.
Yeah, they're a nice brewery. I don't get out the effort as much as I'd like to, but I am glad to see that their 3-pound IPA ain't bad. The Padilla really is good, though. That's a great beer.
Mm.
And their Berliner Weiss is one of the best I've ever had.
I had that when it was like offering number 3, or it was a single digit offering when I was out there.
The first time they put it out there,
and I loved it. It was really good. That's really nice. Yeah,
they need to can that. They need to make that like a regular offering. That beer is, I mean, it's probably my top 3 Berliner Weisses I've ever had, and we've had a ton of them.
Yeah,
I love it.
It's good beer.
Yeah, they do a great molasses porter too.
Oh, I don't think I've had that.
It's one of their offering. They did it twice now.
Yeah,
really good. Yeah, I like molasses a lot, so it's kind of a Pennsylvania Dutch thing that, you know, I love shoe fly pie and molasses cookies. Ooh. So.
Shoe fly pie.
What's that?
Yeah, buddy.
Saucony Creek does a molasses beer.
Oh, yeah.
The Mistress?
Maple Mistress?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That just came out.
I'm not a big... Oh, that beer is awesome, man. That's far and away the best beer that they do. The first time I had it was over at Al's on draft.
Yeah.
And I was so smitten with that beer that... It was in contention for one of my favorite beers I had that entire year.
Wow.
Like, that's how much I liked it. I had it on bottles a couple times since then. It hasn't met, you know, the same level as that first time that I had it.
All right.
But, man, the first time I had that, I was just like, I was blown away. I was like, holy shit.
Yeah.
I haven't been blown away by their other beers.
They're
not to say that they're bad.
Their Hot Suplex was not bad. That was okay.
Yeah, I had that one.
That wasn't bad.
Did you have their bologna beer?
Yeah, I didn't like that.
That was weird.
I got to be honest with you. I'm the one person that did like that beer.
Did you?
Yeah, I did, because it always came with the little thing of bologna right in the beer, and I'd go, yoink.
Yeah.
I don't buy lunch. No. That was very good.
There you go.
Nice. So have you guys heard of Hidden River?
No.
All right, so Hidden River is this place that's only been open for about a year. We went there a couple Sundays ago. I actually blogged about it in the midst of our – it was kind of in between my Portland blog. We went there while I was working on that. So if you kind of go onto my blog and look like midway through the Portland blogs, we went there and Stickman and this place in Redding called Oakbrook.
Yeah.
Hidden River is kind of like – it's in Douglasville, Pennsylvania, which is over in Berks County.
I know where that
close to Chester. Yeah. So it's
down 422.
Yeah. It's this place. It's in a house. It's in a house that they saved from being demolished. Okay. And you go there and they have like this deck and they had live music going on. You can walk through the house. The house is all still decorated. It's kind of like this old, there's a lot of antiques in there from like the early 1900s.
Yeah.
You can sit on the porch, but anyway, the beers, I don't think I've been this impressed with a new brewery in Pennsylvania in a couple years. Wow. It was awesome.
Nice.
That good, huh?
Yeah. I can't wait to go back.
I had a couple of beers from Stickman. Ed, you were there. They all kind of had this salt and vinegar chips.
Didn't quite work.
They were hit or miss for me. They had a couple good things. Oakbrook was surprisingly good. They didn't have a whole lot of beers on tap, but the place is cool. It's in an old fire hall.
Yeah.
And they had this IPA that was served with a sprig of like rosemary on top, and it was just really nice. So like they it was put a citrusy.
Just they just went burp,
and it was like sitting there, yeah. And it just had this nice aromatic. It worked really well with like the citrusy hops in it.
Nice,
it was really
amazing.
It was really good. And the place was cool. They have some nice outside seating. We had a really good time there. I wasn't expecting much, to be honest, but the beers that we had there were solid. But Hidden River, you got to check them out, man. I can't wait to go back.
Hey, road trip.
Yeah.
All right.
It's very, very Tired Hands-esque.
I need emailed a map.
It's about an hour away from our house.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I really love Tired Hands beers. They're great, but the trying to go down there on a weekend or something just doesn't interest me anymore.
Yeah.
What's a fej?
What's a fej?
Yeah.
A fej is a little kid from kindergarten that had a bunch of friends who were stupid and talking about what your name would sound like backwards. And when you have a brother who's named Bob, it's not very interesting. But when your name's Jeff, it sounds pretty cool. And then like when your mom gets you a shirt made in first grade that says fej on it and you wear it, everybody calls you that for the rest of your life.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that's me. And I'm 42, and everybody still calls me Fedge. But I love it. I wouldn't have it any other way. That's who I am.
It's so good.
Yeah,
I'm so glad I'm young now.
Yeah. Well, Ed's drunk, so let's fucking quit this.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, what?
Oh, dude, you're hammered.
Oh,
either that or you've just been up too long.
No, that's twice.
The Miller Lite in between those two beers didn't help, dude.
No.
Hey, Fej, thanks for coming on. I'd love to have you on.
Thanks again. For having me, man.
Yeah.
Oh, I'd love to be on, man. I love this kind of stuff.
All right. So, hey, great episode, guys.